Hello and welcome back to this week's edition of Wit, Wisdom and Pratfalls with me, Joan Ellis, and my special guest, Laura Clare Reed, one half of the Ventnor Darlings. And welcome back, Laura.
Hiya.
Hi. And Laura's going to play some of her solo stuff. So when we were chatting in the break, you were explaining it's a very different to what you do as part of the Ventnor Darlings with Matt.
Yes. Almost like a disclaimer. So I think the Ventnor Darlings stuff was a really nice release. So we do, you know, lovely, entertaining, happy sing-along stuff because I find the material I write not always morbid, but it fills a different purpose.
Because I've got here that your songs are about revenge, heartbreak and the occasional
grave robbing. Yes, that's a song I wrote recently, but I want to make a music video too. But a lot of my songs come from either breakups that happened when I was a teenager or in my early 20s and sort of processing that, or breakups that happened in your late 20s and trying to process that. And I think that when you're a bit younger, you're a bit more melancholic about it, and then the older you get a bit more like
vengeful,
yeah,
nasty, evil.
Yeah, absolutely. So the songs have changed over the years.
So and you also say kind of that you've been doing it 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But you still need more practice.
Yes. Yep, absolutely. Still need more practice.
I'm not sure about that. So, lovely. So, what have you got along the lines of revenge, heartbreak and grave robbing?
Okay, so I've got a song that I wrote. It was one of the first songs I wrote. I think I was about 12 or 13 when I wrote it, when I first started picking up the guitar. And the only reason I kind of wanted, which I shouldn't say this, but the only reason I kind of wanted to play guitar was to kind of impress boys, because playing piano, people don't tend to have pianos in their houses, but you'd go to parties, there'd always be a guitar there.
Yeah, and guitars were more cool.
And they're really cool. Yeah. Like, a girl playing guitar is just super cool. So I was like, oh, right, better learn guitar then. But I still can't play properly.
So did it do the job, though?
I think it's worked on occasion. I think it's as valid a reason as any to learn an instrument, as long as you learn an instrument.
Yeah.
I don't care why. So this is a song I wrote when I was about 13, and it's just called Kelly.
Okay.
Let's see if I remember how to play.
And she is twisted in the way she shows her love for him. Kelly teases her hair like she teases him. It's a perfect ringlets of confusion. Kelly moves for his attention and leaves him in a crowded room. Kelly, don't break his heart, don't break him before I've had a chance to play with him. Don't break him before I've had a chance to play with him and love him like I love him. But oh, Kelly, I hate you. And she is twisted in the way she shows her love for him. Kelly moves for his attention, but then leaves him in a crowded room. Kelly teases her hair like she teases him into perfect ringlets of confusion. But Kelly, don't break his heart, don't break him before I've had a chance to play with him. Don't break him before I've had a chance to play with him and love him like I love him. Oh, Kelly, I hate you.
Fantastic. thank you. That was lovely, but poor old Kelly.
Yeah, I changed the name.
Are you still in touch with this mythical woman?
No. I think it's, you know, stuff happens in year nine. You've got to get over it.
So you've moved on?
I have moved on.
Good. Well, more you'd be bitter.
No.
So did Kelly... Did the object of your desire, who was he?
I think... I was very prone to like massive crushes,
yeah,
as a teenager, like huge, like just mind blowing, just, yes, like, yeah, I want you, but we'll never be together, and this is the most important time of our lives. Clearly,
in year nine, yeah.
And it was just, you know, I just fall in love with people like completely obsessively, and if they didn't like me back, you know, just start writing songs about it. But I don't think I ever told any of them I liked them.
No,
clearly, because that would have been ridiculous.
Did you ever sit him down and play him that song?
No, I didn't. That's maybe one day. Now we're in our 30s.
Have you ever done anything like that?
What, played a song to somebody?
Yeah, in that, for that kind of desperado reasons.
I think I once thought I was being really subtle, and I had a boyfriend in my late teens, and I wrote a song about us, you know, us together, and it was whether we were going to stay together when I went to university or something like that. And I thought I was being really cryptic in the song. So we were at a party, and I was just like, oh, I've got a new song, thinking this is it, this is the moment. Unconsciously, he's going to pick up the vibes of this song and get this. And I was playing it, and it was an all right song. And then, you know, people were like, oh, that was really nice. And then he came up to me and was just like, that was about me, wasn't it? And I was like, no, it wasn't. Shut up.
So it didn't.
Damn, it was too obvious.
Did have the desired effect then?
No, didn't.
Oh. Yeah, because I've been rooting through my mum's attic, and I found, oh God, I can't remember who sings Don't Leave Me This Way. Don't leave me this way.
Oh, baby, my heart's for loving. I don't
that
know.
That one, yeah. Yes, well, yeah. Anyway, we all know the song, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, I only went out and bought that from Woolworths and only gave it to this poor boy. I think we were in the lower six. And, you know, I think when I was a snog at a Christmas party, you know, and then I went and did that. I mean, what was that all about? Crazy. Hideous.
I quite like, you know, like sort of reflecting on sort of how we behave when we're in love or some form of, like, I don't know.
Madness is the word.
And it is like
for
a mental illness,
yes,
you've got.
It
like,
is.
No, I'm not discounting like behaving like a complete lunatic now, falling into something. But there is something definite. Like, there is a madness about, like, your teens, maybe early 20s, about the stuff you do to try and connect with somebody that you, in your head, makes total sense, perfect sense. And it isn't until you're a bit older, you're just like, wow, that was verging on disturbing.
Yes, indeed.
Or maybe a bit unhealthy.
Yep. And there we are sharing all this. But perhaps it makes somebody else feel a little bit better. Or if you're about to do something like Laura and I have done in the past, just don't. Really don't.
Well, I don't know. I think sometimes follow your heart, but just kind of understand that it's not going to go the way you want it to. But you'll have something funny to say later on in life.
Yeah, there is that. Unless either that or people just back out of the room very quickly.
Yeah,
because I also gave the same boy, and I still remember his name, it was Tim Taylor, a copy of Misty Blue. You remember, you know, My Whole Heart Feels Misty Blue.
Yeah.
You can sing it much better than me. Yeah, you see, even now you're looking a little bit disturbed, Laura. I can see you're thinking that was a step too far.
You've got to be careful when you're going to dedicate songs to people.
I actually went and bought it, gave it to him at the bus stop, and he was just like, what? Why would you do this? You know, and it was all the money I'd earned at Boots as a Saturday girl.
What was his name?
Tim Taylor.
So, yeah. Do you reckon he's got those records
too? No,
are you
definitely
sure?
Not.
Because something I've learned is that sometimes you don't know what, you know, the effect that you've had on people sometimes. You can discount it when you're younger.
But then I've kind of read my diary, and it was all like, I gave this Misty Blue to Tim, you know, at the bus stop. He just got on the bus and went home, and that was that. And then it's like, later that night, went out with Jeremy Taylor, his older brother, had a really nice time. And I'm like, I thought I was heartbroken by Tim. Clearly not. You know, in that hour while I'd had my tea, obviously perked up a bit and just went out with Jeremy.
That's the resilience of youth, though, as well. It's like the ability. Like, but then time seems to go on forever. So, like, you go out with somebody for, like, a week, I don't know, when you're, like, 15 or something, and that's a big deal.
Indeed.
Like, you learn so much from that week of going out with them. More, like, I remember week-long relationships from when I was 15, kind of better than, you know, maybe a month in my 20s or something like that. Because it's just got such impact.
Yes, I'm glad you had week-long relationships, because I thought they were my kind of long-term relationships, and I thought I was the only one that counted 7 days as, you know, doing all right.
It was a big deal. It was kind of, you know, if you were holding hands in public, that was official.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really get to do that very often. Oh. I was sort of, you know, kind of shunted away somewhere where nobody actually knew. It's true. Not always, but, you know, I could remember a few. And there was always those kind of what we used to call very womanly girls that had the long-term boyfriends.
Yes.
Would sort of sashay in the morning with all their tales of what they'd got up to the night before. Mm-hmm. You know, we were only about 13, 14. Yeah. But it was such a big deal, wasn't it? And I was like, well, you can hold on to a guy. Why can't I? You know, twice a week, kind of like, yay!
Yeah. Are you quite interested? Do you ever get broken up with via letter?
Oh, no, no.
Oh, really?
No, nothing as official as that. Nothing as nice as that. No.
Oh, yeah. I think, letters were, you know, this. Luckily, I like, you know, thank my lucky stars that I was a teenager before social media.
Yes, indeed. Let's all be grateful for that.
Thank goodness. Kids, like, I feel so sorry for you, honestly. Mm. Teenagers, it's a social minefield anyway, without putting social media onto it. So our ways of communicating were, you know, house phones, you know, making
if you're lucky enough to have one,
house phone, or asking permission, you know, to use the house phone.
And mates of mates, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Tell him I fancy him, you know, that kind of nonsense.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or just, like, people would just knock for you.
Yes.
Call, like, if a boy liked you, they'd just turn up at your house in the evening. Like, what were you expecting?
Yeah.
You're all right, yeah. Probably go now. but yeah, letters, a hastily written letter would be the start and the end of a relationship in school. Whereas now, goodness knows, it's like maybe a Snapchat or something.
Very brutal.
Oh, very public.
Yeah.
Very public.
Well, Phil Collins started it with the fax, didn't he? When he wanted to divorce his wife. He faxed her.
I've heard a rumour about the Phil Collins, like the first divorce. Didn't she cheat on him with the decorator?
Now that I don't know the details. Yeah. I just know about the fax.
Yeah.
If she did, and we're not saying she did, but if she did, then I think the fax is fine.
I think I'd like to. I sometimes think about faxes and think that that would be quite a nice thing to bring back.
Young people, if you're listening and you don't know what a fax is, I don't know, Laura. How do we describe this?
It's like texting on paper, sort of.
That you can then send through another machine.
Send through another machine. So you could draw or write. You could kind of like draw something or like print something out.
Yeah.
Write music. Scan it into the fax. Type in the number of the person whose fax you wanted it to then go to, and then it would appear on theirs.
By magic.
By magic that Phil Collins was the first to harness. In matters of love.
The power of the facts.
The power of the facts in matters of the heart.
Yes.
Now I don't quite know with social media how people are staying together or being... I don't know. It freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah.
I kind of keep personal stuff away from social media.
Yes, very wise.
I was with a guy once and we were like together on Facebook.
Yeah.
And when we broke up, I remember... It was a fairly amicable breakup. We'd been together for a couple of years, but he messaged me and like saying, it's time. We'd already gone through the fact that I had to move out. He was moving out of the flat we shared and all of this. The biggest thing was us both going, we're going to take it off Facebook.
It's official.
And it was like, we're going to get more of a reaction from doing that than people finding out that we'd broken up.
Yes.
And it happened. So we took the no longer in a relationship with so-and-so, inundated by people we don't know, really.
Oh, yes. Yes. I can remember when my daughter was younger and that thing, you know, the status, with, you know, and I said, but aren't you going out with him? No! You know, it was all so official, unofficial.
I like
that
it's complicated.
It's complicated.
Oh, that's dramatic.
Yes, and it leaves you hanging, doesn't it? Then you're really intrigued to know why, how, need to know more. But there's no more coming.
No.
Because actually it's none of your business, let's face it, is it?
No, I'm terrified for younger people and social media. I've done a bit of training on it, and like where I work with young people, I do get my head around the impacts on it. But the stuff that is common sense to me that would make sense, well, just don't, you know.
But it's littered with landmines, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My advice isn't... It can't be followed because I'm coming at it from such a different point of view that I have to kind of recognise if you're going to try and give people advice. Well, again, when you go home, just don't go online.
Not going to happen.
yeah, that's not realistic.
Yeah, no, and I always forget who sees it and who can look in. Mm. Do you know what I mean? I really shouldn't be allowed anywhere near it. So I know you've got some exciting times coming up music-wise, haven't you?
At
the festival.
Festival, yeah. It's been a really busy summer. And festival's kind of that's almost like the swan song, which makes me a little bit sad because it's like, it's the last festival of the summer. And part of you is relieved. And then part of you is just like, I want the summer to go on forever. It can't. So festival is the last one for us.
That's the 8th to the 11th of September.
Yeah, 8th to the 11th. If you are going to the festival and you are taking a car and you are parking in the car park, well, between 11 and 12 on the Thursday morning, Friday morning and Monday morning, weather permitting, let me just point out, weather permitting, you might see us busking and trying to, you know, start your day with a bang.
Yeah,
just by the gates to the car park. I don't know, we might bring some surprise instruments. Last year we got some of the staff singing Barbie Girl with us. It was great.
Fantastic. I want you to bring a bassoon. It's not going to happen, is it?
I mean, piano is a bit of a push in terms of terms of transmitting. We have had to downsize most of our instruments. So, for example, I've got a guitar with me today that I can't really play. But I think Matt's clarinet kind of does the job. We've got an omnicord.
Right. What's that?
An omnicord is like an electronic synthy harp.
Okay. That sounds brilliant.
Very exciting.
Yeah, I like the sound of that.
We've got some nice instruments, but the bassoon. I'm not ever going to discount anything because we do like experimenting with odd instruments. If anybody has a bassoon that they want to lend us, just send us a message at the Venet Darlings Facebook, because I think that could happen. I can play Scarborough Fair.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect for best
people like that.
Yeah. And you're also, I think you might be sneaking onto the acoustic gazebo stage.
Fingers crossed. Yep. There might be another stage this year in the woods. It's called Gazebo in the Woods. Because it's a gazebo in the woods.
Sounds gorgeous.
And it'll be, I think there'll be some island acts playing there, but at the moment I'm not entirely sure what's happening, so I think we'll definitely see us busking. Then we might even be doing another venue on the Saturday night, but TBC, but busking is 100%, and I think we're a good way of starting your day.
Yeah, I agree. And if you people miss you at festival or are listening to this at a much later date when you've already been a roaring success there, where else are they like to be able to catch you on the island?
We're going to take a bit of a... It sounds so up myself. We're going to take a bit of a break, to really get together. Basically, we've been playing the same set for a year now,
okay,
which means it's well rehearsed. We need new material.
Right.
And that means actually practising. So we're not going to do a couple of gigs, I think, until... I think we've got a wedding in October. But then we're not going to do anything until kind of Christmas time.
Right.
But then have a full Christmas set. So I want full on Christmas sing-alongs in the build up to Christmas for all of December. So we're hoping to do some, the Crab and Lobster we played last year, which was great.
That's Ventnor,
mm-hmm. Best pub on the island. And we've also
got... Says Laura.
Yeah.
There are other pubs available on the island.
I really enjoy a lot of pubs on the island, but in my opinion, it is a super pub.
Lovely.
Super pub. We're looking at maybe there's a new venue opened in Ventnor called the Tea House, which is adorable and amazing.
That's the big one, isn't it, on the high street?
Yeah, they've just opened
opposite
up on the high
RSPCA
street.
RSPCA tag shop.
It's cool. So we're thinking about doing a bit of a residency in there because they've already got a piano in there.
That would suit you down to the ground.
Doing kind of like a Christmas sing-along
with
Christmas.
Cakes and mince pies.
Yeah,
loving that.
And mulled wine.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's the plan up until Christmas. And use the dark, cold winter evenings to practice more songs.
And write new material?
Write new material as well. Right. I'd like to do a bit more recording, and I'd like to make a music video. So if I can do all of that by the new year, I'll be very happy.
Yeah, I look forward to that. But that is all in and around your work with the youth that we were talking about.
Yeah, that's my...
So you're a busy bunny.
Yes, yeah, I am busy. I'm a youth worker, primarily in Ventnor. Where we've got several projects aimed at 9 to 19, which is a very broad spectrum.
Yes.
Obviously what we found is that you're never going to find a project that's going to appeal to all of those young people.
No way,
and those young people have very different needs and very different wants. So at the moment we're kind of concentrating quite a lot on kind of the younger age group and forming good relationships with them. And
What are they into then? What?
You know what? It's a very mixed bag. We've got a group in Upper Ventnor, which runs on Monday nights from 6:30 till 8:30, which is for kind of 9, 10, 11, 12-year-olds. And they've just got loads of energy. They really like playing out. And it's so refreshing to see kids not on their phones all the time.
Oh, of course.
Like, they really want to, like, play around. They really want to do arty stuff. They want to make stuff. And, like, so we try and find, like, play games outside and stuff like that. So I really like working with them because they're just... It's a lot of energy, and we've got some fantastic youth workers who can really keep up with them and really engage with them fantastically. So it's free as well, 6:30 till 8:30.
So
Monday
if
nights.
Any parents or carers are listening in,
yeah.
can any
anybody yeah any children can come along. It's at St Margaret's Hall in Upper Ventnor. That's 6:30 till 8:30 on Monday nights, and it's for ages I think 9, 10, 11, 12.
Sounds brilliant. Fun. I might come.
Yeah, it's really really good, and we've got. A youth cafe in Ventnor, which is open at the moment on Tuesdays, Thursdays and Friday nights, I think around 6:30 to 8:30, and some of the Thursdays and Friday nights are like drop in, use it as a cafe, but it's a safe place to be for young people, and it's
lovely.
Their space. And on Tuesdays we kind of run more structured like activities, but it's always from what the young people want to do.
Yeah,
we don't force them to do anything.
No.
They tell us what
oh,
they would like
gosh,
to be doing.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's for ages 11 plus.
So if people haven't got all this detail down at the moment, where is there a website they can go to?
You can go on to the Ventnor Youth Offer Facebook page,
right?
Which we'll be updating for September, obviously. Summer holidays are always quite interesting because kids kind of do their own things in the summer holidays. You always see a bit of a drop in numbers, but then September happens, you have to be ready because they're going to come back in force.
Roaring back.
So we're going to start planning for September. The Ventnor Exchange as well also runs a young creatives club on Sundays with Vari, and it's a really good opportunity for young people who might not be the most confident artists, but to go and experiment with lots of different mediums like watercolour, clay, comic book drawing, that sort of thing.
Wonderful.
If you would like, and that's free as well. These are all free.
Yeah, sounds terrific. I had no idea that all this went on.
Yeah. While the funding's there, we're making good use of it. And
okay.
So
that website again was?
You can go onto the Ventnor Youth Offer Facebook page. For the Young Creatives, which is part of the Ventnor Exchanges programme, you can go onto the Ventnor Exchange website and find out more about that. You sign up, and then you're a young creative for life, and they'll let you know about all the free, wonderful workshops. So you get to work with professional artists, professional actors.
Perfect.
It's really, really good. And we also do skateboarding.
Oh, sounds amazing. Well, kind of got it all covered, haven't you?
Yeah,
because
you've
got the big skateboard park right on the
We've got Ventnor Skate Park.
Yeah,
we've got a skate park in Ventnor, which they are currently fundraising to turn into a proper cement skate park, which means it will be there forever with minimal maintenance at the moment. It's wood. You know, volunteers have been keeping that place going for a long time, and it's a complete testament to kind of like community spirit and organisation that, you know, a group of basically parents and older gentlemen were just like, they need somewhere to go.
Not the skate park.
And so the skate park, it's being maintained, it's up there, but basically they need to raise the money to turn it into a cement, and they are getting there.
Yeah.
They've already got plans, they've been doing amazing fundraising projects.
Every time I walk past them, my heart's in my mouth, you know, because it just, no, don't do that. But then they career down, fly around, twirl around. Of course, they're fine.
These
brilliant.
Kids are like fearless.
I know.
I've seen the skateboarding lessons we run on Sundays. Again, like if you go to the Ventnor Youth Offer Facebook page, we'll update that with. And it's free skateboarding lessons with all the equipment provided, run by John Cattle of White Trash, who's the most amazing teacher. And I've seen kids start from scratch and then be able to do something that I would never, ever have the guts to do. In an hour, be able to go across a ramp. And it's really inspiring, but then also makes me feel incredibly inadequate. But I'm okay with that, as long as they're having fun.
But they probably can't, you know, sing songs, play bassoons, and do what you do, darling.
But skateboarding looks so cool.
But do they look that good in an evening dress with a tiara
one,
and a train?
You know what?
What you've got to ask yourself.
I'd like to think that one day they will, and that will be my legacy.
So I just want to ask you very quickly a couple of things if we've got time. Who is your kind of biggest inspiration in the music world or in life, really?
I think musically, it's a weird one. Musically, I'm really into Joni Mitchell, and even though I'll never be able to get anywhere near her style or how good she is at just cutting into emotions, cutting into storytelling.
Yeah. I think we all love a bit of Joan.
Devastatingly good. And I've been listening to her since I was about 14, 13. Mm. And it's like each album, I kind of have discovered at different parts of my lives, and they've kind of really... I've connected with them. They reflect where I am at that moment, and she's a massive inspiration for me. Huge inspiration, like no compromise. You know, she turned away from the whole, you know, beautiful Nordic siren scene, and then went into electronic, you know, like rock music, and proved that she could rock out with the boys, and then proved that she could play jazz with the best of them. And for me, she's absolutely amazing.
Okay. And I've got to ask you, because the show's called Wit, Wisdom and Pratfalls, and we've heard your wit and your wisdom with your music, so come on, share a pratfall moment. Don't leave me as the only one who's got a basket full of them.
I was trying to think, before when you asked me, to think of one, and I was a bit like, oh, which ones are appropriate for on air? So this is family friendly. We were playing at a festival last summer, quite late at night, and they had a grand piano that looked a bit knocked up, looked a bit battered, but we got it sounding good and all of this. And we're playing, and it was about 11 o'clock at night, which is quite a hard gig to do, and a stag do came in, and they were going to be hard work. So I was just like, right, I'm going to get them up on stage with us. I'm going to get them to sing along, because or else they're going to be unmanageable. So they all got up with us, and it was just about bearable. One of them was sat next to me on the stool and was trying to like shout at me, you know. I was like, no, there's only 20 minutes left, we can do this. And then one of them decides to be very debonair and lean on the grand piano, and the hinges sheared on the lid of the grand piano, and the whole thing came crashing down on top of Matt's clarinet. The microphone stands, almost lost a finger, and it was, and they thought it was great. They thought it was part of the act. They clapped, and I was just like shaking. carry on. And I was really like nervous afterwards, but it was just, that's probably one of the worst things that's ever happened to me on stage. We did carry on, but afterwards I was sort of looking like daggers at Matt, and was just like, we need to sort this out for tomorrow.
So did you have to pay for the piano?
No, it wasn't our fault. Oh. And I wouldn't have.
God, what a thing. What a thing to happen. That kind of puts quite a lot of mine in the shade. So thank you for that. You've made me so much better. So, Laura, Claire Reid, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you and share your music and your work with young people. And best of luck with the festival and your forthcoming gigs. And please reprise that Ventnor Darlings original show, because I think a lot of people would love to see that.
Yep, I think I'll speak to the bearded one. Okay. See what happens.
All right, lovely. So best of luck with everything. Thank you so much. And stay tuned to Vectus. And next week I'll be talking to Patsy Cabaret, our family entertainer, vocalist, with her glamorous take on 40s, 50s, 60s and 70s music. Patsy Cabaret, have a little look at her website. Amazing lady. So look forward to that. Okay, take care. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye now.